Hello, everyone. Welcome to the eTech Leadership Table. This is a podcast where we invite you to pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and join us as we tackle some remarkable discussions on everything leadership. I'm Melissa Wood. I'm your host. I'm the Dean of Leadership Development at eTech Global Services. Hello, welcome to the eTech Leadership Podcast. Pull up a chair, get your favorite drink, because you're going to be ready for this episode today. I have our one and only Dr. Fabiola, and I just like to call her Dr. Fabulous. Wait till you hear what she has to say today. So go ahead and get situated, get your chair pulled up, and Dr. Fabiola, thank you for coming to the eTech Leadership Table. We appreciate you taking time to visit with all of us and our podcasters out here at the Leadership Table.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on with you today. And I just love your energy. I wish I had you here with me in Kansas City right now.
Well, I'm going to pull you to Texas. Usually people say, where are you from, Melissa? I'm like, my accent is clearly New York. It's clearly New York. So I am so excited to have you today. The topic, you know, we want to dive right into the topic because everybody wants to know, what are we talking about at the table today, Melissa? What are we talking about? And what we're talking about at the table today really is going to involve every single person that you know and everyone that you've ever led, anybody that you do life with, your family, your friends. If you volunteer for things outside of work, inside of work, you're going to get some education today on leading across generations, right? John Maxwell says, if you look back and you're not leading, you know, if you think you're a leader and you look back and no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. You're not leading anybody. I think that's really good. So Dr. Fabiola, she is very gifted in this area. She is actually in the Kansas, I almost would call it Lenexa, Kansas, but it's not. It's Kansas City because you know, she is close to one place that I am familiar with in Lenexa, Kansas. I know more about than just Texas, just so, and everybody gives me a hard time. I know a bit more about Texas, but you're there at the Kansas City, Kansas Community College. Is that correct, Dr. Fabiola? Will you tell our viewers just a little bit about what you love to do there? Like, what do you get to, how do you give them all this fabulousness that's known as Dr. Fabiola?
Oh, that is so sweet. But Kansas City is absolutely a dynamic place. I mean, it's so rich with culture and vitality. When you get into the community college, the diversity at this space, when you're talking about our student population, our staffs, and just even our programming, offering more than 81 certificates or degree programs. We have multiple languages spoken. I just walked down our little student hallway where we have about 60 flags up on the hallway, because that shows our student demographics, where everyone is coming from in the world. But if you want to get into what to do in Kansas City, you can't say those words without talking about barbecue and jazz music.
Yes.
I love barbecue and I love jazz. And I think those are really embedded here in the culture. Not to mention Go Chiefs and Go Royals.
Right? Yes.
The very big sporting culture here as well. So there's always something to do.
That's awesome. We appreciate you taking time at the table, and especially to talk about this, just so you know, I get asked this question being in leadership development for over 30 years now. But this question has come up many times. I've spoken on it many times. But, you know, there's always something new that we can learn in this area. And the leaders are always hungry for this topic. It's, hey, Melissa, how do I bridge the gap between all these generations that I have to do life with, that I have to work with? So I have a few questions for you, and I want to learn today. I am ready to you know, go through and have you walk us through some of this education, since you do have such diversity there in your day to day. So number one, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Okay, right, good. When I looked at your earrings, earlier, I thought they were the shape of Texas. So I was about to ask you.
I love it. They are hearts, but my necklace, yes, see, it is in the shape of Africa.
I love it. See?
So I got one shape going on.
Hey, I told them Joe Rogan doesn't have this much fun on his podcast. So So everybody needs to step up. All right. First question, when we talk about leading across generations, what are some, Dr. Fabulous, what are some of the most significant challenges that you face in leading all, you know, you talked about all those flags, leading the multi-generational teams, and what did you do? How did you address them?
You know, that is really great. Given in my context where I've been fortunate enough to be in the, I like to say at that executive level in my career for some time, where I've had the opportunity to work with some dynamic groups. And a lot of these groups, you know, they come with different levels of individuals. Some are a little bit more seasoned versus others. And one of the things that I found, particularly when you're working in such groups, is kind of establishing a cadence where you're constantly managing different expectations, right? Yeah. And those expectations could be things linked to one, communication style, right? People's ideas or protocols of expectations of what it means to be a professional and be in the workplace. Those differ across generations and, you know, how people show up. I remember one time early on in my career, I used to be an educator, right? So I started off as a kindergarten teacher.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I was going to work one day and I had on a camisole and I didn't have a chance to put on my cardigan on top of it. And my mom was like, where are you going? How are you going to work? And everybody's going to see your personality. And I'm like, talking about, like, first of all, what do you mean see my personality? Of course they see my personality. And she goes, so everyone has to see your arm, and if you put your arm up, are they going to see your side boob? And I'm like, whoa, calm down, I have a cardigan, I'm going to put it on, I don't have any side boob, right? Yeah. And my arms now are my personality, right? And so
I love your mom.
I'm telling you, you know, so when you think about those things, those are things you have to manage for, you have to think about, because, you know, different people, they were taught that a professional looks a certain way, speaks a certain way, and that changes, right? Yeah. That changes as different age groups, different cultures enter into this ever-changing global workforce that we have going on. So I think communication style, expectations of what a professional or professionalism looks like, cultural reference is a huge thing. In how we speak and our cadence. So I think thinking about those things and being sensitive to them and acknowledging that it's not just one way.
Right.
Multiple ways could work, right? But, you know, for your team, for how you work, it's important to establish, I think, certain ground rules and how you deal with those things and manage the expectation. So I definitely think that's something that, you know, you learn quickly.
You do. Hey, I love that your mom said showing your personality.
So, I mean, I was just like,
you know, my mom used to tell me, she would say, cover your address and your zip code. And I was like, what? She said, cover your address and zip code. And I was looking for mail, or she said, your whole house, cover your whole house when I would go to work. That's what she would say, cover your whole house.
I love it.
And you're right. Like, there's just, with so many generations around there, and that's just an example. These are examples. And it makes me think about, you know, the saying that says 6 + 3 = 9, but so does 8 + 1. And so does 10 - 1 = 9. There's so many different ways to get to the number 9. And I even think about when, you know, we were first learning, you know, some people use the control keys on their laptop. Some people use the mouse and right click. It still does the same thing, which there's a big argument about that. But, you know, I think, you know, the mouse click is better, but some people like the control keys, but it doesn't matter.
The mouse click.
Okay.
I'm with you with the mouse click.
So for everyone listening, it's pretty much the same thing when you think about generations. If we just acknowledge first, and that's what Dr. Fabulous is pointing out here, is that there are just different viewpoints. There's different ways of looking at things, and help someone perceive someone, how they dress, just going to work. So I love that insight. I am taking notes. I told you guys she was Dr. Fabulous. You're definitely coming
so
back. They may want you to stay overnight and then come back, eat breakfast at the table in the morning. So, all right. So make sure you're giving Dr. Fabiola a thumbs up. So number two, the second question, we just have a few here. Can you share with us, Dr. Fabiola, successful strategies or initiatives that you've implemented that will foster collaboration across different AIDS groups. What are some things that you've done?
You know, that's a very good question. And I think in all of my strategies, one thing that has remained constant is the focus on building relationships with intention, right?
Okay.
So I know some of us have all done these group work or group initiatives, and you're just like, okay, why am I being forced to do things that I don't want to do? But when you are focused on creating authentic relationships with intentionality, but also leveraging individual strengths. So I manage not only a multi-generational team, but also a multifunctional team with at least 5 different departments. And what I've been able to do is create more capacity by pulling out functions in different departments and having them centralized where there are key areas of strength. So could you imagine, I have this amazing director who works with me. She's probably been in the industry for a number of years. I won't say that because she'll be like, but she's been in this role for over 16 years. And she is just really well-versed in online and academic infusion of technology and just the way of the future, I love to say. I'm like, you know what? Her name is Susan. So kudos to Susan. I'm like, Susan, you got this. You know this. And in my other department, where it's focused on adult and continuing education, we had to rethink our technology and our CRM and how we manage our student data. And that conversation was happening, but Susan wasn't involved because it's not her department and it's not directly in her work. So I had to say, well, timeout. How can we think about creating a space for this division, particularly when it has to do with technology and how we're integrating technology and the work that we're doing? Susan needs to be in all of those conversations, right?
Wow. Very good.
She is the divisional expert in this space. When it comes to non-traditional pathways for new program development, then let's include, you know, Richard, who's the other director in that space. So we kind of created this matrix of work that is really pairing individuals, regardless of their age, but more focused on their skills and their capacity and their expertise. And I found that as a great strategy in creating not only authentic relationships, but also creating this indirect type of mentoring type of relationship where people are relying on each other based on their capacity, their skill set, and not just on their job title or what they think their function is in a specific role.
That is, well, you just definitely broke down walls with that cross collaboration on skills.
Absolutely.
That is a huge thing. You know, they do it in sports all the time. It's just about moving players in the right position to win the game, right? And so, but it does take a leader. And luckily in the state that you're in, the office that you're located, the executive understands at a 500-foot view where all this talent is at. So if you're at the table with us and you're that executive, you're that C-suite, like Dr. Fabiola, then look at talent. I love that strategy, is just looking at the talent and moving the players and putting a mentoring, background to it. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I love that. So that kind of woven in. Okay. Taking notes, going to the next question. How do you think leaders can best leverage the unique strengths of each generation to drive innovation?
You know, very long time ago, I remember my brother, he's my older brother. And obviously your older brother, he's always forced to do things for his little sister. And I would walk around like my little princess that I thought I was, like, well, do this, or I want this. I, like, you know what I mean? And then one day he said to me, you know, please and thank yous go a long way. I know that it's the expectation that in my role as your older brother, right, how we're raised, this is something that I have to do. But it doesn't mean that you can't show gratitude, you can't appreciate it, and you can't celebrate it when it's done, right? And so I found that focusing on individuals' motivations, focusing on their reward systems, highlighting and celebrating all wins, right?
Yeah.
Not just those big ones, but all those little wins that move the needle has allowed for more of that cross collaboration, right? So people are seeing opportunities to get involved in something that might not be in their portfolio, but they know they could have impact in. because they know that one, they'll be recognized. It's going to move the needle. So they're getting that professional and that personal satisfaction in it. So I think just kind of that level of appreciation, expression of gratitude, expression of celebration, really allows us to do things that normally would have probably struggled to get done, right?
Not have
people signing up to do them, but it just still creates a level of momentum and excitement where we're constantly innovating and driving just to reinvent ourselves and to add value to everything that we're doing.
Such wisdom from a big brother. Such wisdom from a big brother.
I'm telling you, he is very wise, that brother.
Yeah. And so when we talk about, how we're talking about looking at all these different generations, I think people just want a specific recipe. How do I deal with people that were born this age to this age? How do I deal with people that are, this generation? And there's a lot of things like what your brother gave as wisdom, like please and thank you. That goes a long way. And some of these things are cross-generational.
Cross-generational.
Please and thank you. You know, it made me think about years ago, yes, I'm from Texas. Yes, I'm a, generation. I don't even think Texas existed until my family was here. So that's just part of it. But, I was learning Spanish. So the company I worked with, they hired a private tutor, Dr. Fabiola, for me for 12 weeks. Okay, so that I could get specialized training in speaking Spanish. I was so excited. Well, my teacher, and we can say this in Texas, bless her heart, she had a horrible student in me. But she explained to me, because I thought I'm going to have to learn everything new. And she showed me that there are many words that are exactly the same in Spanish as they are in English. And I said, well, I already know this. We can cut this class down to 6 weeks. There's many words that are the same. So I want to be clear with everyone. We're talking about bridging the gap from generation to generation. Like please and thank you. Like Dr. Fabiola's brother said, there are many things that we do well across generations. So you're thinking incorrectly if you think I'm going to treat this generation this way, this generation this way, this generation. I think when Dr. Fabiola answered the first question of recognizing that there are differences and start looking for them, just like her mom telling her to cover her personality, right? So, all right, last question. Unless people start messaging me and all sorts of questions, and you definitely have to stay. But what role do you see? You mentioned technology, and you mentioned what role do you see technology in managing and engaging the multi-generation workforce? And before you answer, let me say this. I just went to Disney for the first time in my life 2 months ago.
Congrats.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I was in Florida, and I went to every park. I think I rode every single ride. I was with a gentleman. Wow. That was his 35th trip for the year.
The year.
Are you hearing me? For the year. And oh, if he's at our table, he knows who he is. If he's sitting at our table, he knows who he is. He would do wardrobe changes, because he would change into whatever ride we were going to be on or whatever park we were at. I was with Mr. Elite at this event.
Wow. Okay.
But when we talk about using technology, I got to see Walt Disney. He was such a forward thinker on technology, right? That applied to all these different generations. And here's what I said when I rode a particular ride. I think it was the Avatar. Okay. It's Avatar. I rode this ride. I said, I did not even think this was possible. I had no idea this technology was possible, that I could ride a ride and be on the back of an Avatar and smell things and fly through things. And I was just amazed that it was possible.
That's so brave.
It was a lot overwhelming. But when you see technology like a Walt Disney side technology, how do you see it in managing, like the basic technology that we use? How can we manage across this different generations in the workforce?
That is a very good question. And I mean, it's such a huge part of my portfolio of work. And you know, I grew up in the age of you use technology at work, right? Right. You have to. It's just what you do. But I have to say that when you're thinking about technology, you definitely have to think about it in all of its complexities, right? And so for me, it's really about it could be twofold, right? It could be something that's a bridge and it could be something that's a battleground.
Okay.
Because some people are going to be running to it and other people they're running away from it. And so leveraging it exactly for what it is, right? A tool and a resource. Well, what's the purpose of those tools? What's the purpose of the resource? And for us, it's always been to number one, democratize the process, right? Providing greater avenues for access, but also fostering collaboration and fostering, in a sense, equity.
Okay.
One of my first leadership roles, I was fortunate to be based on the East Coast in New Jersey, but the majority of my team was spread out. I mean, I had people in India, I had people in China, and
Yeah.
thank goodness for platforms that allowed us to contribute to our work at times that made sense for us.
Yeah.
Right. So we never missed a beat. So thinking about it in that way, you have to think about, okay, so how am I going to implement technology that allows anyone from someone who's a native to someone who's a novice to feel like they could contribute, feel like they're also part of it. So recognizing it. So for me, it's also about adding that human touch to it, particularly now when you're looking at, like you talked about, just the advances in technology. Some people, it also comes with fear. Is this technology going to replace me? Is
Yep,
this
absolutely.
technology meaning that my function is no longer important? So when you humanize it, you talk about, well, one, how do we get people the right type of training so that they can leverage the technology to have the most amount of impact in the work that they're doing? How do we focus on work? Because in all of our work, right, particularly where I work in higher education, our business is about service and servicing people. So even if you might have technology that allows you to amplify what you're doing, you still have to think about, okay, what can I be doing differently to have more face time with people, to service people differently? So constantly having those conversations and have the conversations with everyone,
Yeah.
including the people who are probably not championing any new platform integration, right? Because there's a why behind that. And when you better understand what that why is, you could address it. Because sometimes it could be false and sometimes it's real. And then
Yeah.
allow people to think differently. Well, then what's going to be your new contribution? Or how are you going to change what you got going on? So it still gives a lot of agency to individuals. It allows them to be part of, I think, part of solving for the problem, part of mapping out the course of what we're calling the future. And so for us, again, technology, leveraging it as a resource, making sure that we're not taking away from the human components of it and
Yeah.
focusing on, well, what does it do for us, right? So it allows for a more democratic process, it allows for greater access, and it fosters equity in a way that perhaps we wouldn't have had before because people can engage with it at times and spaces that make sense for them.
That's a lot house. That is a lot house. That is a lot house. That question that you told us to think about is how could like everyone that you're talking to, the question that's on everybody's mind, mine, everybody at this table, even you, is how am I going to contribute by using this technology? Because we all want to contribute, right? So we need to know, is this, because there's questions, the pushback is this going to prevent me from contributing the way I need to contribute, or is this going to help me? And that is a lighthouse question. I think that is what we call a golden nugget, or Melissa calls a lighthouse question. That's going to keep you centered in that area. And some people think that it's a simple question. Some of the simplest recipes are the best recipes I have ever tasted in my
That's
life.
right.
And I think sometimes we make things so complex that it just becomes a pot of goulash, which goulash is good, but not every day.
Not every day. Not
There's
every day.
sometimes, there's sometimes just some simple ingredients is just what people need. To when you're thinking about the word technology, especially with the new AI out there, it's not new anymore, but all the new features of AI, it gets scary. So when you make it complex, it gets scarier. So when
Absolutely.
you when you break it down to that last question that you told us to ask about, how can I still contribute using this? How's this going to prevent, if I don't use this, how's it going to prevent me from contributing? So once people see it that way, very simply, I appreciate you being on today, talking about the generation so much. You have such great energy. Your smile's lighting up the screen. I hope one day we can actually sit at a table together with everyone. And then I love sitting at the table and having some of these, I call them smart and fun discussions. So I appreciate it. Well,
thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Well, enjoy your afternoon. And thank you, podcasters. Until next time, we'll see you at the eTech Leadership Table.